Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. We have a wonderful show for you, but I first want to thank you for sharing it with your friends, family, and associates. We have well over 600,000 listeners and viewers now. We very much appreciate you being here. We have something very special for you. After years of canceled vacation plans, weekends spent around at home, travelers are eager to get back out in the world. And as they make their summer plans, a significant amount, and even me, are opting for the privacy, comfort, and affordability of a unique experience of a vacation rental. Adding to the growth of this highly lucrative, equitable industry creates a window of opportunity for those looking to invest. Don't worry, I have somebody here that's really special. I have Christine Vandergrift. She just released a new book called Vacation Rentals, The Ultimate Guide, My Wealth Creating Streets with Little to No Money Down. I'm also going to be talking about your retirement savings could take a hit, what you need to know about taxes. And our first guest, it's a special guest. For the first part of the show, I want you to imagine you're a new mayor of a big city. From day one, you had to battle a shadow city government, which engaged in corporate espionage, sabotage, price fixing, cutthroat competition, antitrust advocacies, organized crime, wholesale fraud. You had the bank threaten to end the city's financial, try to push you to sell the city's utilities so they can raise rates at will. They had the media subvert everything they can. And when they found out they couldn't buy you, they tried to kill you. Sounds like a blockbuster movie, doesn't it? But it really happened. Former Senator Dennis Kucinich, a 31-year-old mayor at the time of Cleveland, the good senator is here to discuss his book, The Division of Light and Power, and the current situation with utilities in America. I'd like to welcome to the show former Senator Dennis Kucinich. One of the things that a lot of people don't realize is you got involved with politics at an early age. So you were a mayor at 31 in Cleveland. Then you went to the Ohio House of Representatives or the Senate. From 95 to 97, you spent 16 years in the House of Representatives here between 97 and 2013. You even ran for president a couple times. So you had a busy political career.
Right.
What's really interesting is this book, The Division of Light and Power, the story is really, you see it in a movie. You don't really think it happens real life. And I was just wondering if you could start by telling us a little bit of that story so people can understand what's happening there. And then I'd like to talk to you about what's going on with the utilities. And everybody here hates the prices of utilities. I'm in California. I have friends in Texas and Illinois, and they're worried about their money. And part of it's because of those high utility costs.
Well, you know, the book opens up on Christmas time in 1969, where I'm just elected to Cleveland City Council. And all of a sudden, my wife and I are shopping in downtown Cleveland. All the lights go off. Christmas disappears. I was just about to take office as a councilman, and I started asking questions. Why do we have so many blackouts? And what I learned was that our municipally owned electric system was being interfered with by the privately owned electric system, which was trying to take it over. And a private company called the Cleveland Electric Illuminating Company was lobbying city council not to make repairs on our own system, was blocking us from being able to get power from outside Cleveland when we couldn't produce our own. The only ones we could buy power from were CEI, and they tripled the cost of power, so blew a hole in our budget. We're talking about a story that is corporate sabotage, corporate espionage, mob-directed assassination plots. I mean, This book is a true story. Everything's documented. But you wonder why this fight over municipal electric system? Well, here's why. You wonder why you pay so much for electricity. Electricity, these private power company, Pacific Gas and Electric in California, First Energy, Cleveland Electric Illuminating Company in our area. They charge whatever they can get away with. And that's why public power is so important, because it establishes a yardstick where people can get power for much cheaper. That's what Cleveland did. Mm-hmm. Our rates were 20% cheaper. The private company wanted to wipe us out so they could have a monopoly on power in Cleveland, and I stood in the way. And that's what the story of the book's about. It is a wild ride through political corruption, through corporate corruption, and through what happens when one person takes a stand.
Basically, they are trying to buy other politicians in the city council. They're doing all that kind of stuff.
Whatever others were doing, I couldn't be bought.
Yeah, no, I know that.
What do you do with someone who can't be bought in politics? My life was on the line, literally. I mean, the room that I'm sitting in right now that I'm talking from, there was a high-powered rifle shot that missed my head by a fraction when I began a campaign to block the sale of our municipal electric system. A sale, by the way, which had been consummated. It was already a done deal. I intervened to reverse it, and that's when the danger curve started to go up substantially. But I got elected mayor on a promise to save the system. I blocked the sale with a petition drive, got elected mayor, and you think, well, story ends there. I canceled the sale. Happy day. No. On December 15th, 1978, the biggest bank in Ohio, Cleveland Trust, told me, either you sell that electric system, the city's system, to the private utility, which the bank was a business partner, mm-hmm. or we, the bank, will not renew the city's credit on loans I hadn't even taken out. So it's called extortion in the normal world, but those weren't normal days in Cleveland, and banks were in charge, and they were trying to call the shots, except I wasn't going along. So the story goes on from there. Again, there has never been a story quite like this in American urban political history, and I finally had a chance to write it. I hope you get a chance to read it, because it is not just about the past. Mm-hmm. Once the American Rescue Plan money runs out, let me tell you something. All of these companies be looking at water systems, sewer systems, at parking, at police, fire, waste collection, all those services, and seeing how they can move in and try to privatize it.
Wow. So help people understand the political battle that is going on today and how they go about trying to privatize this. I know there's pressure and stuff like that, but you know, the regular everyday person just doesn't understand.
Here's what happens. The push for privatization is an ongoing factor in communities across the country. As soon as there's a budget crunch, people start looking, oh, where do we get money? And they'll look for a city service or a city asset. They'll try to sell it. It's a temporary fix. But when you go from public to private, the cost of the service always goes up and taxes always go up to support the underlying cost because of the relationship between services and the city itself being a customer. So what do you do? Well, the book will tell you, it's like a roadmap as to how to push back against privatization. Mayor Tom Johnson, who was the mayor who founded Muni Light at the turn of the century, the 20th century, mm-hmm. of whom Lincoln Steffens, in his book, Shame of the Cities, wrote that Mayor Johnson was the best mayor of the best governed city in America. Mayor Johnson said, I believe in public ownership of all public service facilities, of parks, of waterworks, of schools, and of electric systems, because if you do not own them, they will in time own you. They'll corrupt your politics, rule your institutions, and finally destroy your liberties. So the division of light and power is really the story of the corruption of the politics, the ruling of institutions, and the attempt to destroy the liberties of the people of the city of Cleveland. And I was privileged and blessed with the opportunity to stand up for the public interest. And as a result, today, we still have our municipal electric system.
Took a lot of courage, a lot of integrity to do that. So I commend you for that, because not everybody has that. Now, recently, out here in California, where I live, they're putting in some new pipes in the road. And it's for the water and waste system. So obviously, we all get this little bill for the increase. And then we get an increase in our rates for water and sewage. Now, people don't realize, hey, it might be $20 this year, but you know, it's $20 next year. And you go from paying, when I first moved here, about $40, and now we're paying $120 on a monthly basis. How do they rig that? And
if it's a public system, you have access to that information as to how rates are calculated. But you also have to watch for this. See if they're, if it's a public system, see if they're sitting on a surplus. Let me give you an example. Here in Cleveland, our water department has a $400 million surplus. Well, they've raised people's water rates. They're just hoarding money. They should give some of that money back to the people. Well, they're charging too much. Our sewer district has a $300 million surplus. Some of that money should go back to the people. You've got to look at the budget, and you've got to look at the balance sheet to see how they're spending money. If it's a public organization, if it's a private organization, I can promise you, you're being charged whatever the traffic will bear. Mm-hmm. And you still, there's a public service commission, public utilities commission in some states, you still have access to that information. And you need to do a little bit of research to find out why utility rates cost so much. That's a big question. Utility bills are taking up a larger and larger share of people's family budgets. And we often don't have any idea why they cost so much. Well, you know, I know how. I understand how rates are made, and it's not that complicated. Just reach out for the information, and it's publicly available. It's a public system, and privately, you have to go through the Public Service Commission, but the information can be obtained. And, you know, on a public basis, we elect people who appoint people to make decisions on this, and that's where elected officials matter. That's why public control of the institution matters. On a private system, it's a lot tougher to have any real influence without the help of a team of attorneys.
You're just stuck.
Well, you're not just stuck, but it's tougher.
That was Dennis Kucinich. We're going to do a little quick break here. First of all, I want to thank Scoremaster.com. Did you know the average American has 97 points they can add to their credit score, but no idea how to get them? The data scientists at Scoremaster have cracked the code on how adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. How fast is Scoremaster? One member raised their credit score 33 points in just 5 days, another 43 points in a couple of weeks. Scoremaster is so easy. It takes about a minute to get started. And if you hurry, you can get to try Scoremaster for free. That's right, Scoremaster for free. Save money plus points you can add to your credit score. So go to scoremaster.com/savings. That's scoremaster.com/savings. Again, that's scoremaster.com/savings.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
I want to truly thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends and family members know about the show. All replays are available at www.savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, our Google Play channel, or Spotify. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio, New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Now, I want to thank our over 600,000 listeners that are with us today. We have former Senator Dennis Kucinich. I really want to encourage you to get his book, The Division of Light and Power. It's an autobiographical story of how he fought a shadow city government, banks, all pushing him to privatize the utility, assassination attempts, just like a movie. Dennis, welcome back to the show. I want to thank you again for being here. And there's a lot of people are getting upset about a lot of things that are happening politically right now. But when it comes to looking at our dollars and cents, you talked about it a little bit in that first segment, but could you help us with a little bit of a roadmap showing us how principled approach to everyday life can empower us to find the courage to do the right thing when it comes to politics? I find too often now people aren't going to listen to the other side. They just have their own. And if you're not on their side, they're not going to listen, that type of thing. How can people take the right approach to make a difference?
First of all, we always have to keep our minds and our hearts open. In some ways, we're forgetting the defining purpose of America. In the first motto of the country, it was E Pluribus Unum in Latin, translated, out of many, we are one. And when I ran for president twice and traveling the country, I discovered there is an underlying unity in America, but our politics has polarized, has chopped up constituents into little polarized units. We need to remember, as Americans, there's a much broader destiny of this country, and we must not separate ourselves from that. So when I deal with people, I don't see people as Democrats, Republicans, any party at all, liberal, conservative. I always try to remember, and I want to share with you, that I think the undeniable truth of our existence is human unity, that we're all one. We are interdependent, we're interconnected. I mean, you think of a cell phone, you know, how we can contact somebody anywhere in the world with one of these. And, you know, we have the ability to reach out and touch people everywhere. We can travel anywhere. We have an infrastructure, a technical infrastructure that connects us. But we also have a heart that connects us to the heart of the world, to each other. We must never lose sight of that. Because when we lose sight of that, we deprive ourselves of the real power of our humanity. It's not about being right, not about winning an argument. It's about realizing our commonalities as human beings. You know, when we lose sight of that, we lose the real power of our humanity to change things. And so I always try to remind myself that I have brothers and sisters everywhere, and we always have to reach out and reconcile ourselves with our brothers and sisters and listen to what people have to say and be slow to judge and quick to heal. And I think we could recreate our country in a moment, but the transformation has to take place not just here first, but right here.
Mm-hmm. I think that's wonderful. And I actually agree with that sentiment, because far too many people nowadays are taking one side and are very divided. And if they're just open up their heart a little bit and realize it's your brother, your sister, whether they're a different color, creed, or who they like, it doesn't matter.
I mean, it's about heart, really.
Yeah, pretty much everything is the way I look at it. So I think that's wonderful. Now, what I'd like to know is, besides writing books, what are you doing now in your life?
Well, in about a week, the people in Cleveland, Ohio will be voting for a new mayor, and I'm on the ballot, and there are polls which show me in the lead. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, I hope that does work out. That'll be interesting. It's been a while since you've been a mayor.
it would be a return after 44 years.
So way back when, in the late 70s, there were specific issues that you had to deal with. What are the big challenges that the city of Cleveland has nowadays?
Crime, one of the most violent cities in America, unfortunately. And we don't have enough police to be able to deal with the crime. I've talked about hiring more police, also hiring safety assistants who are experts in conflict resolution and crisis intervention, because not every police call requires a response with a gun. Also, I want to add this. I want to create in Cleveland a civic peace department. I want to make peace the central organizing principle of our community, with law enforcement supporting that, restorative justice supporting that, economic opportunity supporting that, healthcare and housing supporting that. I'm looking at a transformation in our community. And so we'll see how that goes, because, as I said, people will be voting soon.
So help me understand, safety assistance, what would be their function? I understand not everybody needs
They'd be like social workers, trained social workers. For example, go into a situation where maybe you have someone who's having a bad day because of emotional or mental health issues. Mm-hmm. But talk them down. You don't need a gun to deal with that. In doing so and taking that approach, you're likely to avoid an escalation, which sometimes tragically occurs.
Yes. We've heard about that too much in the news. Okay. In the civic peace department, help me understand what their function would be.
Well, the approach would be, violence exists in a community, and sometimes the city isn't aware that things are happening in a community, and we need to get people in the neighborhoods and find out what is happening where violence begins to percolate. What's going on? Is it a neighborhood dispute? Is it a lack of resources? Is it some long-standing grievance? We need to find out, because there's all kinds of things happening in a community that can lend to violence. But if you're not on top of it, you could miss something really big that could mushroom into a civic tragedy. So what I want to do is to address the factors that are involved in violence. We know some of them already: poverty, ill health, housing, lack of access to food. There are conditions that create poverty. We have, in the city of Cleveland, we have 20% of the people are living on $10,000 or less a year. They're in desperate straits. Now, I'm not saying everyone who is poor is a criminal, far from that. But conditions are created where people are struggling to survive. And we have to see the relationship between that and domestic violence, gang violence, gun violence. I want to take a scientific approach to it, a sociological approach, but also a compassionate and hard-nosed political approach to come up with programs that address people's concerns so that people don't feel alienated. I mean, only 13% of the people in Cleveland voted in a very important congressional election that was held more than a week ago.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I mean, really, you think about that. What are we doing that causes people to be so alienated? Well, we need to find out and address it. And while I might know that some of those things intuitively, and people may have told me, we need to look at this scientifically, in some ways spiritually as well. So I'm talking about an innovative approach towards city governance that gives people a chance to really express how they feel. And with a mayor who has more than a half century of political and government experience, that would lend itself to a real transformation of social and political structures.
Dennis, I want to thank you for being here. If you're listening to us from our Cleveland affiliate, I want to say consider Dennis for mayor. And I hope everybody goes out and votes, and it's not 13% show up, because people don't realize they're messing with their future if they don't vote. And I really love that people need to think with their heart as opposed to being divisive. So I want to thank you for being here. I want to encourage people to look at your book, The Division of Light and Power. And I wish you all the best in the future, Dennis.
Thank you.
Thanks for being part of the show. Yes. I'd love to maybe have you back when you're mayor.
God willing. Let's do it. Thanks.
Let's do it. All right, Dennis. You have a great day. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye. Bye-bye. That was former Senator Dennis Kucinich. He's got this wonderful book called The Division of Light and Power. You want to go to Amazon. It's available there. It's been available since June. It's getting wonderful reviews. Oh, my God. What was really interesting is that people now could take a look at what you can do to look at possibly figuring out what's going on in your own city, your own utilities, the municipalities, all that kind of stuff, and figure out how you can lower some of your utility bills. You just got to fight a little bit, but you know what? That's wonderful. Now, again, I want to thank Dennis for being here. We're going to take a short break, pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. We just had former Senator Dennis Kucinich here. He was talking about his book, Division of Light and Power, but he also talked about how many cities and many big businesses are looking to privatize utilities so they can jack up your rates. This would be really important to take a look at those utilities, take a look at the public information to see how big of a surplus. So maybe you can, instead of jacking up your rates, maybe they can give a rebate or reduce your rates moving forward. This next segment, we're going to talk about the reality is your retirement savings could take a big hit. And what you need to know about taxes. The reality is many people have been scrimping and saving and building up a nice retirement nest egg. Okay. So give yourself a pat. The reality is you're only halfway there. Many investors are so focused on accumulating wealth, they neglect the second part of the equation, which is pulling out money so that you don't deplete it and unnecessarily from poor tax decisions. You know, like I said before, you spent decades trying to put money into a retirement plan. The big question you need to answer is, how do you get the dollars out and do it in a tax-efficient manner? Got to realize, hey, you're not as rich as you think you are. So you think about this. You're putting all this money into your retirement plan. But you got to remember, every dollar that comes out of that's going to be taxed at whatever your ordinary income tax rate. So suppose you hold $750,000 in an IRA or 401k. And you know what? Ordinary tax rates are about 24%. So you know what? You're going to have about $570,000 that you're going to net. That means $180,000 is going to go to tax liabilities that you're going to owe in the future. When you look at brokerage accounts, you would likely incur taxes too. Even if it's relatively low capital gains at 15%, the withdrawal would put you in further debt when it comes to your wealth, okay? One of the things you could do is plan withdrawals while you have time. Now, you might be tempted to stash away cash and plans and forget about it until you have to take your required minimum distribution at age 72. It makes a lot of sense because it gives more time for the account to grow. But that might not be the best way to go. If your account gets too big, you could trigger some naturally required minimum distributions. You're going to have to collect Social Security by then. The larger retirement distributions could make your Social Security taxable. And, you know, I often hear a lot of people and talk to a lot of people that I think they're getting killed because of the required minimum distribution in their 70s. The reality, if you're in your 70s, there's not a lot you can do about it. In fact, I have one client, I met him 12 years ago. He retired from the postal system, pension, Social Security, that covered all of his and his wife's expenses. Back then, they had a $570,000 IRA. I talked to him each and every year to convert money over into a Roth, put it in something that's tax-free so he doesn't have to worry about it in the future. You know, he said to me, he said, Steve, I don't want to worry about that. Life is going pretty good. I don't see any reason why I should be taking out money and paying taxes. Well, we just had this wonderful conversation about his required minimum distribution. He's going to have to take out $67,000. It bumped him up two tax codes. Isn't that exciting? Now, that also increased his taxes by almost $30,000. And when we finished that conversation, he goes, you know what? I wish I had listened to you many, many years ago. My life would be so much easier right now. The reality, folks, is this, is people in their 60s have a golden opportunity to start drawing down their retirement money while limiting the tax bite. The reality is, if you're retired, you're not earning much because you're not working. You might not have claimed Social Security yet, or you are, but you're in a lower tax bracket. And if you start taking out required minimum distributions because you're over 59 and a half, you're not going to get hit with that 10% tax penalty. Okay. The other thing you might want to think about is how to do it properly. And that's what you're looking at your tax bracket. Okay. So for example, if you're in a 12% tax bracket, hey, the bracket ends at $40,525. If you're married, it ends at $81,050. So if you're receiving income from other sources at about $70,000 and you're married, you have $11,000 that'll keep you in a 12% tax bracket that you could take out and convert to a Roth or put it into a life insurance plan or something like that that would create tax-free distributions if you need to get the money in the future. Okay. The other thing, if you're in a 24% bracket, it upends at a certain amount. Take out money up to that amount so you stick within that 24 bracket. And you take a little bit each and every year. The key is to have a smaller IRA when it's time to take the required minimum distribution. Now, we did this with one couple where they had IRA distributions, Social Security, capital gains, and they had interest income. What we did is we took their interest income investments and put them into a tax-deferred vehicle, which means they didn't have to pay any taxes until they took out the money, which they didn't plan to. And we said, hey, look, why don't you start taking withdrawals from your Roth IRA? So that left the only thing to be really taxed on is their Social Security and their IRA distributions. Their income was about $83,000 and they were paying $4,000 a year in taxes. But by taking the Roth distributions, they stayed in a 12% tax bracket, which meant their capital gains were tax-free, and they're now only being taxed on the distributions from their traditional IRA and Social Security, and their taxes went from $4,000 a year to $41 a year, enabling them to not have to worry about future taxes, number one. Number two, put themselves in a position to where they could be in a situation where their assets actually grow and they don't have to pay the taxes. Other considerations, taking your IRA, contributing to a Roth 401k. Real simple. You're going to have to pay taxes on the money. Not a big thing, but down the road, it will be tax-free. There's other ways you can do it. You can look at the way you hold the assets. Okay. For example, a lot of people will put a tax-deferred asset inside an annuity in a tax-deferred asset. Does the same thing. But if you were to have stock that appreciates but doesn't getting a dividend, it could grow without taxes until you sell it. Then you could use harvesting strategies where if you have the gains and you'll have losses offset them, that reduce your taxes. And if you can stay in a 12% tax bracket, your dividends and capital gains are tax-free. If you have bonds, and they're municipal bonds, they're federally and state tax-free, you know, so you don't want to hold them in an IRA. You want to take advantage of everything you can is what I'm getting at. Okay. So you want to take a look at all those things. A lot of people are saying, hey, I've got this money that's sitting in a bond or in a savings account. Okay, great. That's wonderful. But think about it this way. Right now, those interest rates are so low, you're actually losing money safely because of purchasing power, inflation. And the reality is you could use things like fixed index annuities that get the growth that's locked in based off an index, anywhere from 4 to 6 or 7%, which would be far better than those bond yields or even what you get from a bank, especially if you don't need the money. Something to think about. I hope this gives you some information so you can think about ways to reduce and eliminate your taxes moving forward, especially on those accounts that are fully taxable, like your IRAs, your 401ks, your KEOs, and so on. So I hope this helped you. You want to stick with us because we have a wonderful segment next with Christine Vandekerf. But first, I want to say, hey, look, Scoremaster.com, I want to thank you for sponsoring us. Most people don't know this, but the average American has 97 points they can add to their credit score, but no idea how to get them. The data scientists at Scoremaster cracked the code on how. Adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. How fast is Scoremaster? One member raised their credit score 33 points in just 5 days. Another 43 points in 2 weeks. Scoremaster is so easy. It just takes about a minute to get started. And you know what? And if you hurry, you can get to try Scoremaster.com for free. That's right. Scoremaster.com for free. So see how many plus points you can add to your credit score. So go to Scoremaster.com/savings. That's Scoremaster.com/savings. Again, that's Scoremaster.com/savings. Now, stick with us. We have Christine Vandekerf. She's going to talk to you about how you can make money from the vacation rental market. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Wasn't Senator Dennis Kucinich wonderful in his new book, The Division of Light and Power? You want to see that again? For our Cleveland affiliates, he's running for mayor, so you're going to need to vote in the next couple weeks. That ought to be fun. Hey, we just talked about the things you need to consider, the big hit you might take from taxes, so pay heed to that. You might want to take a look at that again. Again, you can follow us on Spotify, Google Play, as well as YouTube, and I want to thank the over 600,000 listeners for joining us today. Now, our next segment is just wonderful. As you know, we talk about the ins and outs of money. Okay. And I just want to set it up this way. In the last year, so many people have had their vacation plans canceled. Most of the weekends, I know this, spend it out on the lounge in the backyard. Many people are going travel crazy and they want to get back out in the world. As they make their summer plans, and I've already done this, a significant amount will opt for a vacation rental because of the privacy, the comfort, the affordability. And it's a unique experience because we did this with my son's graduation at San Luis Obispo. And it was really cool. We're right next to the beach. It was comfortable. It was nice. But the reality is most people don't realize this. That industry is blowing up. There's a lot of growth there. It's very lucrative. There's a big window of opportunity. And that's why we have Christine Vandekerf. Now, here's the big thing. When you have industries like this, you have traditional rental owners who don't quite understand what's going on with it. You have newcomers going, hey, can I make money here? And Christina, thank the Lord, she just came out with this new book called Vacation Rentals, The Ultimate Guide. And it's my wealth creating secret with little to no money down. One of the things that you're going to realize when we interview Christina, she's very educational. She's engaging, easy to understand, which is great. She's going to demonstrate the regardless of your budget, education, experience, anyone can enjoy, generate wealth from a vacation rental. So, Christina, I want to welcome you to the show. I'm actually really excited about this. I told a few friends, they're like, yeah. I want to listen to how this is done. So now I know you're a hardworking, go-getting woman. What got you into vacation rentals?
So the funny thing is I started selling real estate when I was 20 years old. And like many other 20-year-olds, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I talk about it in my book too, but I got exposed to people that had invested in real estate and then those who didn't. And a lot of my family never invested in real estate. So I knew like it intrigued me, but I also wanted to think bigger and the sky's the limit and really try to learn from those around me and self-educate with reading and podcasts, whatever else, as much as I could. So I ended up buying my first house when I was 22. And then fast forward a few years, got married and had a house of my own when we got married. And I decided, you know, I should just keep it as a rental. You know, it could be a backup plan. I know a lot of people rush things, get married, and then things may not work out. And then they're like, well, crap, now what do I do? And so like at that point, you know, it was kind of, it was a way to have extra income, traditional rental. I ended up falling in love with it. And then my husband and I started down that path of using equity in our own property to come up with down payments to buy other properties as traditional rentals. The interesting thing is I got exposed both through clients and just, you know, people in our area that had them to that industry and how much more profitable they could be. So in 2018, with my husband's blessing, I went to Florida, found a house that we created as a vacation rental and did the long distance, you know, property management thing. We worked all the kinks out and learned the hard way with a lot of it because, you know, you don't know until you go down that path what you're going to experience, especially something that far away. We're based out of Pennsylvania. And so we're relying on other people a lot. The following year, we ended up having the opportunity to buy a property near ours that was on top of a hilltop, private, beautiful setting. And so we decided, you know, why don't we try and sell some of our rentals and upsize them with our equity to buy and create vacation rentals? You know, I went into that one thinking I would be happy, one, if it broke even because it'd be similar to a traditional rental, but thinking, you know, maybe you put a little extra money in the bank, we can use it ourselves, whatever else. And literally, it was the fall before COVID and the shutdown. So again, a lot of unknowns, but it exploded. And it was so much fun that we decided to do it with others. And at that point, you know, locals started seeing that we're having great luck. They were much more profitable than a regular rental. And so that's when I got the idea. I need to help others do this because it is fun. You know, you can start small. You can start with just extra living space that you may have on your property already, and then start saving and building equity and having all the other traditional, you know, benefits of investing in real estate too.
One of the first questions that we got from our viewer blog was, we have a traditional rental. How is a vacation rental so much more lucrative than a traditional rental?
The funny thing is, like with a traditional rental, you have your monthly cap on what you can charge with your lease. And generally over time, you cannot increase them as fast as you would probably like to. So with a vacation rental, you have many more people in and out. You're keeping a better track of your property while that's happening. Also, you know, a lot of people will stay for two or three nights or a week, and the nightly rate is just so much more than what you can charge for a traditional rental. As a big example, the place I call our rental I was talking about, it's called the Sky High Chalet. And if I was to rent that out as a traditional rental, I would be lucky to rent it out for $1,400 a month. They would pay their own utilities, and then I pay my taxes and insurance. Mm-hmm. That place literally could gross anywhere between $6,000 and $8,000 a month as a vacation rental. So it's a no-brainer.
Well, you know what? I was just thinking about what we paid in San Luis Obispo. We paid like $3,500 for a period of about 8 days.
Right.
And by no means does that rental command that much on a monthly basis, but it was a perfect place for us and to hang out, go to the beach, do all those things, have a, you know, so I totally get that. But I don't think people realize that dollars and cents, a lot of people are really concerned about the quality of the people who come in there. They hear the news with the house parties and things like that. And I think, you know, when you talked about, hey, you learn. So what are the big things did you learn when you first started?
The biggest thing is you want to definitely have a budget because there are times when things pop up, people may damage. But the biggest thing that I didn't realize until I got into it myself was you can accept or reject people when they want to book your place. You don't have to automatically accept them. And you get to rate them and they get to rate you. So as you have better bookings and ratings, you can charge more, but then you also can expect to also have more quality candidates from past reviews. They're just a lot safer. And I talk about it in my book. We've had traditional rentals and we have had everything in them from tenants catching our houses on fire to just not taking care of them to pet damage and all sorts of stuff. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, with vacation rentals, either the housekeeping or maintenance or you, if you're managing it yourself, are in and out of them every few days. And so you get to kind of choose who you get to rent your place at the beginning, but then they're not in there for very long anyhow. So if there is an issue, generally they're not there as long as I have tenants right now. They don't even have to pay their rent technically because of everything going on with COVID, where, you know, my vacation rentals, they're booking, paying in advance and very busy still.
Okay. I get that, because if you've got the COVID thing, going to be years before somebody can evict somebody just right. because of the court system and the backup.
Right.
And even then, in like my state, California, it takes somebody 6-8 months, if not a year, to get them out, even if they're involved in the process.
Right.
But with a vacation rental, hey, your 3 days are up, get out, you know, or you have the sheriff show up. okay, cool. That's good to know. Now I want to go to, how can somebody do this with no money down?
Okay.
But I want to take a break first. Okay. So, hey folks, we're talking to Christina Vandegrift. You want to be here for this. She's going to talk about how to do it no money down. Stick with us. We're going to be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Did you know the average American has 97 points they could add to their credit score, but no idea how to get them? The data scientists at Scoremaster cracked the code on how. Adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, and low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. How fast is Scoremaster? One member raised his credit score 33 points in just 5 days, another 43 points in a couple of weeks. Scoremaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started. If you hurry, you can get to try Scoremaster for free. That's right, Scoremaster for free, and see how many plus points you can add to your credit score. Go to scoremaster.com/savings. That's scoremaster.com/savings. Again, that's scoremaster.com/savings.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, I want to welcome you back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Again, I want to thank you for sharing this with your friends, family, and associates. If you'd like to get some of the replays, go to savingwithsteve.us. I want to thank our affiliates, BBS Radio, UK Health Affiliate, E360 TV. They're all here to help you live a life of spiritual and financial freedom. And if you'd like to get some more replays or more financial tips, you can always go to the Facebook page of Saving with Steve Sexton. We're back with Christina Vandegrift. She's been talking about how people can get in and how lucrative the vacation rental market is. I have a feeling from what you've said, it's a little bit easier because you've got people that are cycling in and out, although you might have to have a cleaning crew there and stuff like that, but it's not as bad as getting stuck with somebody for a long period of time. The big question that people have been asking is, how can they do this with no money down?
So I feel like one of the benefits with my background is for the last 16 years, I've coached people through selling real estate on how to buy property. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, when we started, we had never invested in rentals or anything ourselves. So we had to be creative. We didn't have 20% down to put onto properties. And I talk about it in my book also, but there are other ways that you can, you know, come up with the down payment. And one of the biggest ways that we have done it was, you know, if you find the right property with a motivated seller, that you could ask them to hold the down payment, the 20% down, and finance the 80%. And then after a few years, then you would refinance that, pay it off, or do something like that. And a lot of times sellers like that because they get that chunk up front, plus get a little bit of an income. And sometimes for, you know, their income tax purposes, that income spread out over time might be more beneficial than all at one chunk if they would just sell it outright.
Okay.
You also, you know, if you have equity in property or equity in a family member's property, that's another option. There's people that have borrowed against their 401s, and it all depends on the seller. And right now, you know, it's a seller's market. So there are sellers still out there though. The prices have changed, but a lot of times I have gone myself to meet with them. I'm old school with that stuff. Shake their hand, look them in the eye and explain, and you get a lot further than blindly mailing them an offer.
Oh, I know. I totally understand that because people have to react to you if you're in front of them, and they're more apt to see the passion and heart of somebody and say, hey, they're the person, they're going to treat this right. So I think that's really, really, really great. In this day and age, obviously it's a seller's market and things are going very, very, very well for anybody who's selling. Mm-hmm. Are there real estate firms out there that'll actually help people with making that deal so they can purchase that home, even though they might not have? My next door neighbor, for kicks and giggles, put his house on the market for $975 when Zillow listed at $820. And then it sold for $1.1 million. The funny thing about it is the person who came in, there was a firm that he worked with because he was financing 20 or 30% of it. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, we'll pay the cash when you get your financing and we're going to do this in the contract, then you'll pay us. And they charge him a percent or two from it, but it was worthwhile so he can actually get the house. Otherwise, he would still be looking and be living in a hotel. But so I know there's some firms out here that might be something special that an agent has. Do you know about things like that?
Oh my gosh, yeah. And that's why it's so important to find a good realtor. You need somebody that's going to work for you, and especially somebody that has the right network and connections that can connect you with either sellers or even private financing. I actually am a broker owner of a real estate company myself. And that is one thing that the right person is going to be willing to help you with this. And being a realtor, you get to be such an important part to somebody's future and big milestones. And there definitely are agents out there. It's tough, you know, right now, like you said, things are selling for crazy amounts and everybody's just trying to stay above water and run around like chickens with their heads cut off. But it's just having that right personal connection with your agent who understands and believes in what you're trying to accomplish that can make that happen for you.
I know a number of agents in my area, and I always know the ones who sell a lot of homes. Mm-hmm. They have tons of connections. They know how to make the property, I'm going to say, rock, so to speak, because I have one gentleman that he says, on average, I'll have 25 people come and see a home and I'll have 7 offers before the end of the weekend. Yeah. Whether it's this market or another one, you know, like you talk about having the right real estate agent is so very important. If they have those connections to help somebody get the property that they want, whether, like you talked about, private financing and other things, I think that makes a gigantic difference. And I'm glad you're talking about that because there's a lot of people, and don't mean God, everybody's got to start someday. But there's some people who do this as a part-time job and don't have those connections. Exactly. Right now, it's really easy to sell something because all you got to do is put in the offer and if it's the top offer, you win. The problem is there's a lot of people who might be missing out, or they don't realize, let's come back to them with this counter or that counter or whatever to make it work. So they don't have that experience that's needed to make it work. So I'm glad you're saying that.
And again, I talk about in my book, they also will help you figure out if it's even allowed based on zoning and hook you up with the right people. If you're buying a property in another area, they are the conduit of information for, you know, maintenance people, property managers potentially, and the right lenders to help save you money with interest rates and everything else too.
So for the next 3 or 4 minutes, I'd like you to talk to you about your Vacation Rental Academy. So how does that work? What's kind of the agenda for somebody that's going through that? We probably had about 25 people that say, you know, how does this work?
Through my website, christina-vandergrift.com, I have free training videos and downloads with worksheets. But for somebody that would actually apply and purchase the Vacation Rental Academy, I teach you from start to finish, you know, how to find the right property, how to furnish it, how to get financing for it, how to market it, whether you should self-manage or hire a property manager and what each of those look like, even as far as what the cost is and different expectations, how to market it and all the operations, what websites to put them on, how to take pictures, how to clean, all the ins and outs. And it's me personally with videos, teaching you with worksheets and downloads and lists and from start to finish on how to go live and start making some money.
Could you tell everybody how to go about visiting your website again?
Yeah. So my website is Christina with a CH-Vandergrift.com. And I have links on there to Vacation Rental Academy. I have my blog on there. I have links to my book. And go in, contact, it'll subscribe you. You can download the free videos for now. And then I keep you updated. I do plan on launching one-on-one coaching so that if somebody wants to, after they've done the academy, you know, have one-on-one coaching with me via Zoom, I do offer that also. And it's a lot of fun, you know. Helping other people and building those relationships is how I've done so well with my career as a realtor. And then all the other, we own multiple businesses, but I've got to the point where, you know, we were having so much success and growth and so fast that I wanted to have a bigger impact. And that's why I decided to create my course and write the book and do things like this.
I think that's wonderful. Sharing the wealth and helping other people get to where they want to go.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. The more people you can help, obviously you'll help yourself, but there's a lot of people who can do well. One last question before we go. How important is location with a vacation rental?
Oh my gosh. It is huge. You know, and you can have a location that's not as nice or as good or doesn't have the different attractions, but it's going to change, you know, your potential income and what you can charge for it. Just like selling a property, anything can sell if it's priced right. And it's the same with a vacation rental. You want to try and point out, you know, what is special about it, the area, the accessibility and everything. So location is key, just like this old saying goes.
Okay. So I just wanted to throw that out there because some people are just like, hey, I can do a vacation rental about this. And I was talking to a friend about it. I go, really? Here? Yeah.
You would be surprised though. You know, I have so many people even in our local area that will say, well, why do people want to come here? And you got to work with what you have. And it's all about the marketing and pictures and, you know, connections also. And I teach you how to join chambers of commerce and how to really market and everything at Vacation Rental Academy also to build those relationships.
Perfect. Hey, if you would like to get Christina's book, Vacation Rentals, The Ultimate Guide, My Wealth Creating Secrets, A Little to No Money Down, you can go to her website at Christina-Vandergrift.com. You can go to Amazon. I saw it's 5 stars, which is awesome. If you are interested in looking into becoming part of her Vacation Rental Academy and learning how to do this from start to finish, please go there. Christina, I want to thank you for joining us today. If you don't mind, I might be asking you back in future episodes because I think this is very important. Once we saw the information about you, we started doing some research about the industry. And oh my God, it is taking off now, isn't it?
Only going to get busier. COVID changed that for the better. You know, as millennials come up through and everything, it's changing. You know, millennials tend to travel that way anyway, but now because of social distancing, it's really changed that. And, you know, I have 3 boys and I used to be a hotel stay person, but it's so much more homey and more affordable to travel when you have a family or even if you're traveling solo. A few weeks ago, my husband and my kids and I went and did a big loop in New England, and we didn't have any plan or agenda, and we Airbnb'd random places all over. And being on both sides of it, it's just so much fun. And this one thing I love about ours, we just sold ours in Florida because the prices had gone up so much that we were crazy not to. But we have one in Gatlinburg, Tennessee also. And, you know, we can block dates and go and use them ourselves. And plus get all the benefits, tax write-offs, and everything else that you get with regular rentals.
I'm just going to say, my daughter goes to Boise State. We're going to go there for a football game. And during football season, all the hotels, you know, they're usually like $100 and some odd a night. It's a small town. But during a football game, it's like $300 a night. But we can stay just outside of downtown in a 4-bedroom house for about $125 a night. And you know, we got to go out anyway. So we're just walking distance from all the restaurants and everything downtown. So it's wonderful. I'm just really excited. Thank you for being here. I wish you health and success and happiness. And again, I appreciate you being part of the Saving with Steve show today.
Thank you very much.
That was Christine Vandergrift. It was wonderful to have her. Again, if you'd like to be part of her Vacation Rental Academy, go to Christina-Vandergrift.com. And if you're looking at just getting her book, you can go to Amazon. It's a 5-star rated book. Again, I want to thank former Senator Dennis Kucinich to talk about his book, Division of Light and Power, and how people can understand how their power rates are getting increased and we can control it. You can look into that. I want to thank you again for joining us. We'll look forward to seeing you next week, this time, same place. And you guys have a wonderful week. Be safe, be healthy. This is Steve signing off from the Saving with Steve Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton.